Please take a seat, unless you're David or Hilary Rowlands, who are going to be bringing us our scriptures.
The first reading is taken from the book of Jonah, chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. One day the Lord spoke to Jonah, son of Amittai. He said, "Go to Nineveh, that great city, and speak out against it. I am aware of how wicked its people are." Jonah, however, set out in the opposite direction in order to get away from the Lord. He went to Joppa, where he found a ship about to go to Spain. He paid his fare and went aboard with the crew to set sail to Spain, where he would be away from the Lord.
This morning's second reading comes from the book of Luke, chapter 5, verses 27 to 32. That's Luke chapter 5, verses 27 to 32. After this, Jesus went and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting in his office. Jesus said to him, "Follow me." Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi had a big feast in his house for Jesus, and among the guests was a large number of tax collectors and other people. Some Pharisees and some teachers of the law who belonged to their group complained to Jesus' disciples. "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and other outcasts?" they asked. Jesus answered them, "People who are well do not need a doctor, but only those who are sick. I have not come to call respectable people to repent, but outcasts." This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray together. Lord, we want to thank you for your word to us today. Lord, thank you for the truths that it reveals to us about you. Thank you for the challenge that it brings to us about how to live for you. Lord, we pray that by your Spirit you'll bring your word alive to us. Help us to hear what you want to say, and to follow and obey. In Jesus' name, amen. As many of you will know from when I've been standing up here, I have a terrible sense of direction. On the other hand, I am a very good map reader. And if you were to ask me to accompany you on a long journey, I'd be very happy to sit next to you with a road atlas on my lap and navigate. Now, I know for many people today, road atlases are a thing of the past. Everyone likes to have a sat-nav, but not me. Now, partly that is because there's a little bit of me that struggles to trust technology. And you do hear those stories, don't you, of people following sat-nav's directions and ending up going via completely strange places to get to their destination. But the main reason that I don't like a sat-nav is because I like to be able to see the whole journey at once. I want to get a sense of the locations that I'm going to pass on route so that at any given moment in the journey, I know in my head where I am in comparison to where I'm going. What I don't like to know is I've just got to turn left next. I like to see the bigger picture. Now, of course, that is still only part of the picture. Maybe if I used Google Maps, that would be a bit better because it would tell me if there was a traffic delay on part of my journey. But even with that information, you still only know part of the information of what the journey will look like. There's no map, no computer that can ever tell you exactly what's going to happen as you will travel along your journey. Now, this morning, we're starting a new series looking at the book of Jonah. Now, here is a man who was given a very clear instruction of where he should go and who totally ignored the directions that he was given. And what an unexpected journey he ended up on. Over the next few weeks, we'll discover what we can learn about who God is and how that impacts our own journey with him. as we listen to the consequences that Jonah experienced, having ignored God's instructions and chosen to travel in completely the opposite direction. But before we look at what Jonah teaches us today, I want to begin by considering who Jonah is and what kind of book in the Bible we are looking at. Jonah is probably one of the most well-known characters in the Old Testament. Probably he is the most famous of the minor prophets. If children go along to Sunday school, if you went to Sunday school, I'm sure you learnt about Jonah. But the book of Jonah is written in an unusual way compared to the books of the other prophets. And so some of you will know that over the years, theologians have spent a lot of time discussing whether the book of Jonah is an actual historical account of the prophet's life, or whether it's a theological truth distilled from historical reality and expressed in a parable form. And I want to mention this because if you had heard about this, it's kind of the elephant in the room, and it would be wrong to ignore it. In other words, does the account of Jonah running away, being swallowed by a fish, and then being spat out again, does it describe something of the spiritual journey that Jonah was on and teach us truths about God and our own response to him, rather than portraying an exact historical event? Now, before we think more about that question, let's consider, first of all, what do we know? What do we know? Verse 1 says, "The Lord spoke to Jonah, son of Amittai." Now, it's highly likely that this Jonah, son of Amittai, was the same Jonah, son of Amittai, that is quoted in 2 Kings chapter 14. Now, I'm sure none of you are sitting there thinking, "Oh, I know 2 Kings 14. And when I read it, you'll think, "Oh, that's why I didn't remember it." So let me read to you what 2 Kings 14 says. It says, "In the 15th year of the reign of Amaziah, son of Joash, as king of Judah, Jeroboam, son of Jehoash, became king of Israel, and he ruled in Samaria for 41 years. He sinned against the Lord, following the wicked example of his predecessor, King Jeroboam, son of Nebat, who led Israel into sin. He reconquered all the territory that had belonged to Israel, from Hamath Pass in the north to the Dead Sea in the south. This was what the Lord, the God of Israel, had promised through his servant, the prophet Jonah, son of Amittai." So here is Jonah, the prophet, son of Amittai, mentioned in 2 Kings. And it is very likely that this is the same Jonah. He was the son of Amittai. He is a prophet. That's not being disputed. And the fact that he was used to deliver messages from God has never been questioned. Neither are Jonah's attitudes towards Nineveh questioned, nor his attitudes towards God in doubt. More than that, Jonah is mentioned by Jesus. Jesus quoted Jonah. You can read it in Matthew's gospel and in Luke's gospel, and he referred to Jonah as a sign. In actual fact, some people show similarities between the call of Jesus and the call of Jonah. Both of them had a very difficult call to bring people to repentance. Both of them experienced resurrection after 3 days. Jonah from the fish, Jesus from death. But of course, there's a very obvious difference in that Jesus went very willingly, surrendering to his destination, whereas Jonah, he ran away. As we look at depth at the book of Jonah, we begin to see that this book is less of a story about Jonah and more of a revelation about God and his relationship with humankind. Now, sadly, in their search for what kind of writing is this and how historical is the fish bit, too many people have ended up being consumed by that fish And they've lost sight of the truths that it reveals about God. The fact is, Jesus told parables. Those stories weren't true, but they have a very profound meaning for our life today. So whether we choose to take the book of Jonah as a historical account with a moral, or as a parable which has been grounded in experience, there is absolutely no doubt about its overriding message. It brings a significant challenge to everyone who claims to know and love the Lord, to understand his heart and to know his love for humankind. So I want to encourage you this morning at the start of this series, rather than getting caught up in the dilemma as to what kind of writing we're looking at, let's try and grasp more of the mercy and the grace of God and hear what he has to say to us today, so that we can trust in his love and goodness, and so that we can respond to his call to us. So with that kind of introduction, I want to go back to Jonah chapter 1, where we heard in verse 2 that God said to Jonah, "Go to Nineveh, that great city, and speak out against it. I am aware how wicked its people are." That's a pretty direct message, isn't it? But what I want to know is, how did God speak to Jonah? Have you ever asked that question? How did God speak to Jonah? Was it a dream? Was it a vision? Did God speak through the advice of someone else? The truth is, we don't know how God spoke to Jonah, but the fact that God spoke to him and told him to go to Nineveh is in no doubt. Hearing God's voice and knowing God's guidance is important for all of us as we seek to follow Jesus throughout our lives. Most of us aren't called to go to Nineveh in the way that Jonah was, but God speaks to all of us and calls us to journey with him. You know, sometimes it's easy to become a little bit hung up on the way that God guides us and what he calls us to do. Guidance is a massive topic. There are all kinds of books about it, and I'm sure over the years you've all heard different kinds of teaching. The subject of guidance, I think, has sometimes presented a somewhat distorted picture of the way in which God speaks to us, leaving us to conclude that God directs every single step that we take, every single second of the day. Now, the fact that God is concerned with how we live and he wants to guide us, that's not in dispute. But as the author Adrian Plush recounts, this subtle misteaching can leave us feeling paralyzed when we feel that God isn't saying anything, and can leave us feeling maybe sometimes a bit neurotic when a random thought enters our minds and leaves us wondering whether, does God really want me to get on a train to Warsaw and give a blue cardigan to the first person I meet? In other words, we shouldn't become overburdened with striving to hear what God is saying at every moment. Because Jonah shows us, when God speaks, you know about it. You might not like it, but you know about it. God is a God of relationship, and he longs to communicate with his people. He speaks to us directly. He speaks to us through other people. He speaks through his word, through visions, through circumstances, through gut feelings. God has given us the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us and to help us to understand how to live as he wants us to. God speaks to us, all of us, his people, and he calls us to journey with him, the creator, so that we can be part of an ongoing conversation with him and learn to walk with him. And God speaks to us and calls us, every single one of us, to take part in his work. For Jonah, the expression of God's work that he was called to carry out was to go to the people of Nineveh and call them to repentance. Following God's call always means taking part in the work of God. It goes together with the response to God's call. You can't say, yes, I will follow you, but no, I won't be involved in your work. Now, that won't be Nineveh for everybody, but it will always be expressing God's way of being in the world in which we live. In the Gospels, we learn that we are all called to be salt and light. Now, you can't always see if salt is in the food, but you can certainly taste the difference that salt makes. Responding to the call to be salt can be a very hidden ministry, unlike the very visual one that Jonah was called to. But it's a call where we need to be willing to make a difference. And often it means being willing to resist what is sometimes known as the Jonah syndrome, that fear of being different and of standing alone. I think sometimes we can give Jonah a bit of a hard time. In many ways, his reaction was really quite understandable. Put yourself in his shoes. In effect, by obeying God's call, Jonah would be choosing to face the unknown, upsetting his own people, putting himself in a place of humiliation and ridicule, leaving the comfort and the security of the world that he knew in order to go to a strange place and declare God's love to his enemy. Does that appeal to you? You know, like most of us, when Jonah received the call, his first thought was, well, how does that make me feel? What impact's that going to have on my life? And quite clearly, Jonah didn't like what he saw. The thing is, God wasn't sending Jonah alone. God would be with Jonah. And ultimately, God wanted his work to be fulfilled. I think there are times for us today when reflecting God's character or living by his values is a very costly move. And certainly we can be left feeling like we're standing alone. Maybe there are times when, perhaps at work, our behaviour doesn't match with the rest of our colleagues because we are behaving in the way that God wants us to behave. Living in God's service is difficult, but we are never alone, because being in God's service also means living in God's presence. And it's a lifelong journey and an ongoing conversation as we keep on discovering more of God's heart, more of his plan for the world. And something of that ongoing conversation that God was having with the world can be reflected through the ministry of Jesus and his conversations with the Pharisees. The Pharisees' attitudes and actions strangely echoed Jonah's misunderstanding of God. It's interesting to see that there are actually some rabbinic teachings that suggest Jonah was right to protest and to not do what God had told him to. How can they say that? Well, what they say is his actions are effectively suggesting that God should look after his own people, and that those who are living against God should just get what they deserve. That's not the perspective you see when you look at Jesus eating with sinners and outcasts. That reading we heard from Luke reminded us not only of the contrast between Jonah and Levi. Levi, who got up, left everything, and followed Jesus, but also Jesus' answer to the Pharisees. He said to them, "People who are well do not need a doctor, but only those who are sick. I've not come to call respectable people to repent, but outcasts. As we enter into that journey with God, as we take part in his work, we discover too that God speaks to us and calls us into freedom. Freedom to worship, freedom to serve the living God, freedom to reach our potential. In choosing to run away from God, Jonah actually runs away from life itself. His fear robs him of his freedom. And it robs him of the opportunity to go beyond the boundaries of his own worldview. Jesus said that he came so that we could all have life in its fullness. But that freedom involves trusting in God no matter what is happening in our lives. It means being ready to leave the safe and secure environment that we know, so that we can follow God into freedom. At home in our garden, we have a bird feeder. I love to sit and watch the birds feeding. And sometimes I've been around when baby birds have been flying around. We have lots of nests around in the trees and in the hedgerows. And if you've ever seen that moment when the birds are ready to leave the nest, the first thing you'll notice is the call, the distinctive call of the parent birds, trying to coax them out. Then the adult will go back to the nest. Then they'll fly away to a branch. They'll go back to a nest, fly away to the branch, keep calling and calling. But it's a big step to leave the warmth and security of the nest. It's the only world that those baby birds have ever known. If they're going to fly, they have to be prepared to leave the nest. And more often than not, the babies will only do it with that encouraging call of the parent. If they don't follow that call, they will never fly. You know, in the same way, we have to trust God as we respond to his call. God wants to lead us into freedom. And when he calls us, we can trust him. Life might be different. It might be like entering a new world. But God wants to help us to fly. The last thing I want us to think about this morning is that Jonah reveals to us that God's call can be ignored, but it can't be escaped. Verse 1 tells us that Jonah is the son of Amittai. Actually, that means the son of faithfulness. Interestingly, Jonah didn't turn out to be the most faithful, did he? Running in the opposite direction. Why? Not just because he didn't want to do what God said. It's there, quite clear. He's running to get away from the Lord. He actually wants to go as far away from God as he can. Physically, Jonah went west instead of east, but he also went down to the port instead of up towards Nineveh. His journey down to Joppa actually echoed his mood. But wherever he went, as we'll see in the next few chapters, wherever he went, he could hear God's call. One of the great things that Jonah teaches us is that although Jonah himself was unfaithful, God never left Jonah. In fact, with compassion, he actively pursued him. There might be times for us when we're unfaithful to God, but God is always faithful to us. As we see with Jonah, God won't force us to change our minds, but also he will never let us go. And he'll constantly be there trying to reach out to us with mercy and with grace. Now that's really reassuring. That's really encouraging. But even so, we need to take note of Jonah's actions and we need to learn from them. You see, think about who we know Jonah to be. He was a prophet. He wasn't a man that was far away from God. He was a man who spoke out for the Lord. Think about who reflected his actions. The Pharisees, the teachers of the law, the people that thought they'd got it right. But they and Jonah still didn't quite get it. And in Jonah's case, he actively chose to ignore God's word to him. You see, without God's word, we are in ignorance. But the minute we've heard God's word, we have a choice. Do we follow or do we resist? If we choose to resist and ignore or rebel against God's word, effectively what we're doing is passing judgment on God. We're saying, actually, that's not a good plan. This is much better. My ways are best. I know what to do. Yet how can we know better than the God who made us? How can we be wiser than the living God who knows all things? So as we reflect on God's word to us today, I want us to take a moment to consider where Jonah was running to. The Good News Bible says Spain. If you've learnt it as a child in other versions, you would know we call it Tarshish. Now, effectively, this place was being described as the ends of the earth, a place of obscurity where God was not known. But I wonder, as we reflect on that word to us today, where would that place be for you? Where is Tarshish in your life? You see, effectively, Tarshish is anywhere that enables you to turn your back on the right destination. So where are you running to ignore God's call? Where are you resisting God's words to you to take part in his work, to enter into freedom? Not many of us have a call to go to a specific place, be it Nineveh, be it a camp out in America. But we are all called to serve the living God. So what's God's call to you? Maybe it is a call to serve. Maybe it's a call to serve here as part of the leadership team to find out more about being a deacon. Maybe it's a call to live by God's values. Maybe you know you're in a situation and you know that God is calling you to stand out from the crowd and be different and live differently. Maybe it's a call to restore. Maybe you know you need to make peace with somebody. You need to be involved in the ministry of reconciliation and restoring a broken relationship so that you can live in unity with your brother or sister. Maybe right now life is tough for you and the call to be faithful to God seems just too much at this time. Let me assure you, God will sustain you. God will be your strength. But trust him and respond to his call. You know, it's so reassuring to know that God will sustain us even when we do ignore his word. But as Jonah discovered, we cannot escape him. God's heart's desire is that we walk close to him, that we live in his freedom, that we live in constant conversation with him. But we can only do that when we respond to his call. Let's take a moment of silence as God continues to speak to us and our own personal response, and then I'll pray. Loving God, I want to begin by thanking you for your amazing love for us. Love that reaches out to us wherever we are. Even if we try and turn our backs on you, your love is there in front of us. As the psalmist declared, where can I flee from your presence? Lord, thank you that you are with us and nothing will stop you from loving us. And thank you for the truths that you reveal to us through your word about who you are and about your love for humankind. Lord, today we want to be people who do respond to your call. And Lord, I pray for those of us who feel afraid to do that, who feel afraid of standing out and being different, who feel like we don't know how to mend a broken relationship and bring unity, who feel like we haven't got the strength to carry on because being faithful just seems a step too far. Lord, help us to look to you and trust in you, to respond to your call, to leave our place of security and safety. And help us as we trust you to fly and reach our potential and serve you in all that you are calling us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.